All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Cenk Uygur, Anika Sperry with you guys. I got a funny voice to start the show. All right, so now normally I'm a happy-go-lucky in my personal life. That's the kind of guy I am. Anna, you know I'm an optimist.
You are.
You know I'm generally a happy guy.
Yes.
And then things in the news get me angry. Today might be the reverse. I'm kind of in a fired up mood already. Mm-hmm. I'm locked and loaded. Mm-hmm. So you never know what can happen on today's show. So buckle up. And of course, I'm upset about the first story. That's not surprising at all. I'm actually super pissed about two other things, including one story in the second hour where the wrong guy got shot. But I'm actually kind of furious at who the right guy was. So we'll explain in the second hour. But Anna, no, actually before that, hold on. I do have important and fun announcements for you guys actually that are positive. Okay. So tomorrow at 2:40-ish, I know that it's kind of a, it depends on when he's going to arrive. Okay, so it's giving you a little bit of a loose time. Monsiktirlan, live in the studio, Vice President Al Gore. I know for a second you thought Vice President Mike Pence. That would have been amazing as well. But, but yes, Al Gore in the studio tomorrow, and he'll also be at the top of the show too. So tune in a little bit early tomorrow, live for everybody. And also, I mean, there's just a ton of announcements. I don't know if I can get all of them in. Anyway, there's a press conference that I told you about a couple of days ago in Washington that the Just Democrats are putting together for Medicare for All. So if you're anywhere near Washington, that's tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern. Go check that out. Congressman John Conyers, Congressman Ro Khanna are going to be there. And so go to justdemocrats.com. And then Anna is debating Ann Coulter on Saturday at Politicon. Hassan is debating Michael Kirk. That's a couple of young guys, one on the conservative side, and obviously Hassan on the more progressive side. And on Sunday, I'll be debating Ben Shapiro on Politico. I also actually have a super interesting panel about the future of the Democratic Party mixed with some establishment folks. And I think there might be one other progressive on the panel. So that ought to be a lot of fireworks. I want to see our guys out there, politicon.com/TYT. Politicon.com/TYT to get tickets to see it in Pasadena this weekend. Okay, lots of fun announcements. Now let's do the news.
All right. Donald Trump has declared that transgender individuals will not be allowed to join the military. He advised everyone about this through Twitter, which is his favorite form of communicating with the American people. And it was a series of tweets. Let me go ahead and read them to you. He said, after consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the US military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. Thank you. Okay, so there is no tremendous medical cost. In fact, there have been studies that looked into this. One of those studies was released in May of 2016 by the RAND Corporation. In fact, the Pentagon commissioned that study. And what they found, and I think this is very relevant to the discussion, was that letting transgender people serve openly would have, quote, a minimal impact on readiness and healthcare costs, largely because there are so few in the military. There are 1.3 million members of the military, and the transgender component of the military is about 1,300 to 6,000 individuals. Okay, yeah. So it's hard to have exact numbers because some, you know, it's based on self-reporting and things like that. But it would not be a huge cost burden at all. I think this is just a way to distract from all of the negative press he's been getting in regard to Russia and that investigation.
Of course.
Yeah, okay. He's such a clown.
Let me just dive a little further into the facts. So of the people who would need any kind of healthcare related expenses, whether it's hormone treatment or otherwise, in the military in any given year, it would range from 25 people to all the way up to 140 people in a force of, as Anna pointed out, 1.3 million people. The RAND study was a little bit more specific, and the folks at RAND Corporation ain't nobody's liberals, okay? So the Pentagon says, RAND, give us a study on this. They go crunch the numbers. They're like, okay, this is the best we can come up with. And they said that the amount that would go to dealing with transgender healthcare costs would be, quote, an exceedingly small proportion of total health expenses.
I mean, you want to have a conversation about wasting money in the military, right? We just did a story this week about how the Pentagon wasted $28 million on providing uniforms to Afghan soldiers that were only meant to be used in a forest setting. They don't fight in the forest, they fight in the desert. So they were completely useless uniforms. And there's never any conversation about that $28 million that was just wasted. And by the way, that I know that's a drop in the bucket considering how much money we funnel to the Defense Department. But it's just one example of how much waste there is in the military. And you have the audacity to talk about, oh, you know, the couple thousand transgender people that we have who are risking their lives to fight for this country. We can't take care of them. Right, too expensive.
So let me go more into that. So only 2% of Afghanistan is forced. So it was a preposterous decision. And since 2007, it's actually cost us $71 million, totally thrown in the garbage, okay? But way less than that for transgender people, we can't have it. You know, I mean, look at what Anna just told you. I mean, think about it, just let it sink in for a second. They are ready to die for this country. They say signed up, they can have their arms and legs blown off in places like Iraq, Afghanistan, and that has already happened to a lot of folks that served the military. There's members of Navy SEAL 6 who are transgender. You want to go tell them what, they're not patriotic enough? You don't want them in the armed forces? But Donald Trump, you never signed up, and you had every chance in the world. Vietnam was happening when you were of age. You got 5 deferments, and now you're telling trans people they can't serve. They can't risk their lives for their country. He pretended after he got out of school that he had bone spurs in his foot. It was such a bad lie that when asked during campaigning, hey, which foot was it in? He's like, I don't remember. Oh, I see, it was a devastating injury that kept you out of the war. But now to score cheap political tricks, you're gonna go after patriotic Americans who are looking to defend all of our freedoms. And they sign up to defend our freedoms, and you strip their freedoms away.
Right.
And look, this issue is more than just trans people. And the effect that it has on the LGBT community is enormously important. I don't want to minimize it. But it's about all of us. It's about saying, no, we don't believe freedom applies to everybody. We don't believe that we should be equal. So there is some people in this country who say there's certain people, used to be based on race, still is for some folks. Now we're switching it. We're switching it to sexual identity. We're switching it to religion. So if you're in a certain religion or you're sexual, you're not equal. You're not equal. You have lesser rights than us. You're less American than us. No, I think they're way more American than you because they actually understand the principles of this country. So Trump and the people who applaud this decision are grotesque, and they have no idea what it means to be an American.
So just to give you a little more context, you know, during the Obama administration, the don't ask, don't tell policy was firmly in place until Obama did something about it. And so that would allow members of the LGBT community, not just trans individuals, but anyone in that community to join the military. They wouldn't have to worry about being discriminated against. The component of Obama's directive would allow transgender military members to start joining without any fear of discrimination July 1st. James Mattis gets involved, and of course this is now during the Trump administration, and decides to postpone that July 1st decision, right? What was supposed to go into effect July 1st. And then all of a sudden we get these tweets from Trump. And so I just find it all super interesting considering the fact that when Trump was running, he claimed that he was very pro-LGBT. He was so much more pro-LGBT than Hillary Clinton. If you don't believe me, hear it from him. Here's what he had to say about that.
I refuse to allow America to become a place where gay people, Christian people, Jewish people are targets of persecution and intimidation by radical Islamic preachers of hate and violence. Remember this, radical Islam is anti-woman, anti-gay, and anti-American. If we want to protect the quality of life for all Americans, women and children, gay and straight, Jews and Christians, and all people, then we need to tell the truth about radical Islam, and we need to do it now. It's a strike at the heart and soul of who we are as a nation. It's an assault on the ability of free people to live their lives, love who they want, and express their identity. It's an attack on the right of every single American to live in peace and safety in their own country. Hillary Clinton can never claim to be a friend of the gay community as long as she continues to support immigration policies that bring Islamic extremists to our country and who suppress women, gays, and anyone else who doesn't share their views or values. And by the way, the LGBT community is just, what's happened to them is just so sad. And to be thinking about where their policies are currently with this administration is a disgrace to that community, I will tell you right now. She can't have it both ways. She can't claim to be supportive of these communities while trying to increase the number of people coming in who want to oppress these same communities. Ask yourself, who is really the friend of women and the LGBT community? Donald Trump with actions or Hillary Clinton with her words? I will tell you who the better friend is, and someday I believe that will be proven out bigly.
I mean, who needs radical Islamic extremists when you have someone like Donald Trump who does exactly what he just criticized radical Islamic extremists for doing, right? Violating the rights of women, violating the rights of the LGBT community, which he can't even get.
It's in a prompter. He's reading from a prompter, yeah, and still can't get it right.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He's like, you will find out who is a true friend of the BLT community, okay?
That sounds like a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, so, well, we did find out. We found out today. So what he was trying to do there, he's pretending to be on LGBT community's side so that he could enlist them on hating Muslim people. So he's
That's
like,
right.
Okay, so let's hate these guys one at a time. And then you think he's not going to turn on you later? Well, he just did. And of course, great credit to all the leaders in that community. They didn't believe him for a second. And they didn't buy it back then. Back then, Chad Griffin, president of the Human Rights Campaign, said, LGBTQ people, we are Muslims, we are women, we are Latinos, we are as diverse as the fabric of this nation. And any attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. So God bless his heart for saying the right thing back then. And obviously, LGBT community, along with all of us, are now outraged at the latest actions of Donald Trump to discriminate against that community, as he was looking forward to discriminating against Muslims earlier in that statement. And by the way, I mean, come on, even if you're a Donald Trump supporter, you know he's a pathological liar. Did you really believe him there when he said he was going to be a bigger friend to the gay community than Hillary Clinton and the Democrats? You didn't believe him. You knew he was lying through his teeth because you're celebrating some of his actions today, right?
Right. And they didn't even care that he was lying because that's something that the right wing wants, right? They like to differentiate themselves from other fundamentalists, but how are you different if you're fighting tooth and nail to take away reproductive rights for women? You're fighting tooth and nail to do away with the protesting rights of Americans that disagree with you. You're fighting tooth and nail to do away with any type of progress that we've had for the LGBT community. I mean, they think that they're so much better and they're so much more, you know, self-righteous. It's all BS, and it's so incredibly disheartening and sad to see that he will go to this extreme just to distract everyone from the fact that he's a clown, that he's facing a serious investigation, and he just wants people to focus on something completely different. Here's a nice shiny little object that you guys can focus on so we don't talk about other issues.
Last two things. Caitlyn Jenner, are you happy now? Because she's proud Republican and so thought Trump was going to do the right thing for trans people. How's that working out for you, idiot? I know you like your tax cuts and you're greedy, and so you thought, oh, my money's more important than everything else. Well, now he's come for you. Maybe you should have stood up when he was coming for everybody else too.
Caitlyn Jenner doesn't really care. Caitlyn Jenner doesn't want to serve in the military. Caitlyn Jenner cares about the tax cuts way more. You know, she comes from a significantly privileged position. And, you know, whatever statement she releases about this today is completely, you know, in my opinion, is complete nonsense because she doesn't genuinely care. If you genuinely cared, you would have seen the tea leaves. You would have spoken out against him from the very beginning, and she just refused to do that.
And finally, I have a suggestion that might be able to solve this problem because, you know, this is means that already the 1,300 to 6,600 trans members of the military might have issues. Certainly, anyone new signing up will not be allowed to, right? So, Republican politicians who are in favor of that proposal, we need to make up those numbers.
Yep.
So, you won't let them serve our country. You won't let them fight for our freedom. So, stand a post, motherfucker. Grab a rifle, but first, don't do that right away because I know you're Republicans, God knows who you'll shoot. Okay, go sign up for the military, stand a fucking post. Then you can go and criticize trans people and say, no, that's okay. I was willing to die instead of them. Okay? Until you do that, shut the fuck up about other people who are trying to defend us.
All right. After Donald Trump released a series of tweets indicating that transgender individuals would not be allowed to join the military in any capacity, surprisingly, a number of Republican lawmakers spoke out against him. Let me give you a few examples. First, we had a, let's go to John McCain. So, first senator to speak out against Donald Trump was Senator John McCain. Let's go to graphic 6. Any American who meets current medical and readiness standards should be allowed to continue serving. There's no reason to force service members who are able to fight, train, and deploy to leave the military regardless of their gender identity. Orrin Hatch also released a statement in regard to Trump's new policy, and he did criticize it. He says, I don't think we should be discriminating against anyone. Transgender people are people and deserve the best we can do for them. I look forward to getting much more information and clarity from our military leaders about the policy the president tweeted today. Now, let me be clear about something. Donald Trump tweeted what he did without even advising or communicating with the Pentagon. When the Pentagon was asked, you know, what does this mean? How are you going to move forward? How are you guys going to move forward? Officials essentially said, you need to ask the White House. However, they later released a statement saying, we will continue to work closely with the White House to address the new guidance provided by the commander in chief on transgender individuals serving in the military.
Without what that means is the new guidance provided by the commander in chief in a tweet this morning that we did not hear about
at
all.
That's right.
That's why we don't have a plan in place. See, this orange buffoon doesn't know how the government works at all. He doesn't know what it means to be commander in chief, so he's like, I don't know, why don't I just change the policy with a tweet? And then the Pentagon is like, oh, for Christ's sake, now we have to try to figure out what in the hell he meant by that tweet. Then we got to go figure it out and then implement policy. No, you knucklehead. Normal, intelligent human beings who have held this post before, whether they're right wingers or left wingers, actually do things through a process instead of, oh, I got up this morning and I was so upset about Russia and my investigations, they're going to find me. So I tweeted to get people distracted on this issue and to get my loathsome base who hates people to go and rush over to hate trans people and then and hence come to my defense. Well, funny enough, even with the Republican senators, it didn't work. And so now look, they all haven't weighed in on this yet, but look, in the past, these senators have not been in favor of LGBT rights. They are now. I'm a little conflicted on it because on the one hand, there are now wealthy LGBT members of the nation who are also donating to the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. So Peter Thiel gave a lot of money to Republicans, and he happens to be a gay libertarian. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, the gay position on the Republican position on gay rights softening a little bit. On the other hand, I'll take it. Great, you're doing the right thing.
You can buy a politician to do and say anything.
But I told you guys,
it's
how many
amazing.
Years have I been telling you that we're going to win on gay rights? You know why? Because that's the one issue where we have more donors than they do. So we even got Orrin Hatch and Richard Shelby from Alabama to turn and say, oh, I can't believe they're doing this to the trans community.
Well,
Richard Shelby?
Okay, so I like that you brought Richard Shelby up, because he did go on a cable news network to talk about this, and it perfectly shows you, illustrates how half-hearted he is in his support for the transgender community. Take a look at this video, video one.
Is this a move that you support from a president who vowed to support the LGBT community more than Hillary Clinton during the campaign?
Well, that would be a reversal of the current policy. The current policy is a big tent for people who want to serve. You got to remember, our military forces is a volunteer force. So I'll have to see what he's actually said, read his tweet, and go from there.
Are you concerned about the 4,000 transgender people currently serving, or up to 6,000 based on what Rand says, serving in the military right now? What happens to them?
Well, I think you ought to treat everybody fairly, and you ought to give everybody a chance to serve.
Okay. How did you not read the tweets before going on CNN to talk about the topic?
No, he doesn't want to piss off his base. He also doesn't want to piss off his donors. That's why you get that answer. But that is a way better answer than what Richard Shelby would have given in the past, saying everybody ought to be allowed to serve, from a deeply conservative senator from Alabama. Look, we won on the issue, so this is a temporary blip. So, you know, look, don't get disheartened today. It is distracting us, as it was intended to do. It is hateful, which is Trump and Steve Bannon 101. And I don't want to just put it on Bannon, take away responsibility from Trump. Trump's the one who made the decision, okay? But at the same time, they're swimming against the tide of history, and they're going to get washed out by history. There's no way they're going to win on this issue. If we got Richard Shelby going, well, I mean, I think everybody should serve, we already won, man. So, okay. So it's terrible that for another couple of years this discriminatory policy will be in place, but I guarantee you that this is going to get overturned, certainly by the next Democratic president. The next president will be a Democrat. Okay, this kind of hateful policies. Yeah, I know, you're super base, your base of bases who loves hatred and fear and discrimination. They are not the majority of this country. So people voted for Trump out of incredible frustration directed towards the establishment. It doesn't mean that they're in the core base who hates all people and don't want them to have equal rights. If you've lost Shelby, you're never going to win. And they lost the House too. The House just a couple of days ago voted on this. The deeply, insanely right-wing conservative Republican House that just voted to take away 23 million people's health insurance was like, man, going against the trans community and the military, that's a bridge too far.
Yeah, well, you know what else? Right now, the military is having a very difficult time recruiting people. Their numbers are starting to go down. People are very, very skeptical about joining. Let me read you a quick quote from Philip Carter. He's from the Center for a New Security, Center for a New American Security. He says, "Our all-volunteer force is facing a long-term decline, both in the number of young Americans qualified to serve and the propensity of those qualified Americans to serve." So, all right, cool. You want to ban, you know, entire groups of people from joining the military and serving the country? Have at it. Do you, boo? We'll see how that plays out for you.
Yeah, and finally, don't get me wrong. The majority of Republicans in the House are still hateful. They only got 24 Republican members of Congress to flip on that vote and vote with the Democrats to allow trans members, trans folks to serve in the military. And they lost 214 to 209 in the House vote a couple of days ago. All the rest of the Republicans were like, no, we don't believe in equal rights. We don't believe in the Constitution. We believe instead in interpretation of Yahweh, that gay people are not equal to straight people, so we're going to discriminate against them. So that was still the overwhelming majority of the Republican Party in the House, but luckily enough people switched over to the other side for them to lose that vote. So even his own party is not on Donald Trump's side completely, at least. So good luck to you guys. Run on this hateful strategy. You're going to get slaughtered in 2020.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, an update on what the GOP is doing with your health care. And then later on, even though Trump doesn't want us to talk about it, his issue with Sessions continues.
All right, back on the Young Turks. First of all, let me give you a more specific URL for if you're in the DC area and you want to go to that press conference standing up for Medicare. It's justicedemocrats.com/standup. See, you get that logic? So, and we're asking, by the way, part of that point of that press conference, we're asking everybody to stand up. I'll tell you guys more about it later. For Medicare for All, I want everybody to take a pledge. So mainly to get the politicians on board. So, justdemocrats.com/standup. Julia Mahoney writes in, are you serious with us, Cenk? Al Gore, Al fucking Gore, forget awesome, that is epic. Yes, so in the studio, so in case you missed the beginning of the show, he will be here around 2:40-ish. And we're gonna do an interview with him then, and then we'll go into the live show and do a segment with him in the live show as well. So Al Gore at Rebel headquarters tomorrow. And Anna and I last night saw an Inconvenient Sequel.
Right.
And it was powerful, man. I mean, there's some charts in there and some facts in there that are devastating. I mean, we keep telling you guys, but it's more jarring when you see it. That opens, by the way, we've got a partnership with Participant Media, who's part of that project. That opens on July 28th in New York and LA, and August 4th nationwide. So check out the movie. I don't know if you noticed, there was a couple of times where I audibly gasped. I was like,
yeah, I noticed that. And there were, I don't know if he's okay with me sharing this with you guys, there were a few moments where John got emotional. And so did I, by the way, but you know.
Okay, so anyway, Norma GP also says, yes, Al Gore on TYT Live. This is super duper awesome, great, fantastic news. So yeah, don't miss it, guys. Eric Johnson says, you want to talk about wasting money in the military? I have one letter and two numbers for you, F-35. So true. And Woke Poppy says, as a gay American, my heart breaks that the government of the country that I love turns their back on us. The thing about trans and gay veterans and ones that are still in the military, they say, I love this country so much, I'm willing to die over it. Yeah. And then they say, no, this country doesn't love you back. Get out of the army or the military. It's so, so, so frustrating. Anyway, all right, by the way, if you guys have missed any portion of this show or tomorrow's show, remember, this is the last couple of days now for free trial membership. You get a whole month's membership free, tytnetwork.com/join, and then put in that promo code FREETYT, okay? You guys know it, tytnetwork.com/join, and then promo code FREETYT. All right, what's next, Anna?
Okay. After Senate Republicans voted on a procedural vote regarding the replacement for the Affordable Care Act, and that procedural vote passed with Mike Pence breaking the tie, they actually decided to share their first plan for Affordable Care Act replacement. And it failed spectacularly. So it failed because so many Republicans, members of the GOP, actually voted against it. Now, Republicans brought their first plan up for a vote late Tuesday night, and they watched it fail 43-57 in a procedural vote. Nine Republicans joined Democrats to kill the Better Care Reconciliation Act. So I want to quickly list the Republican members that decided to vote against it. Lisa Murkowski, who also voted against the procedural vote that allowed for more debate. Susan Collins, Lindsey Graham, Rand Paul, Bob Corker, Tom Cotton, Jerry Moran, Mike Lee, Dean Heller, all of those individuals voted against it. Now, I'm going to go ahead and guess for different reasons. I'm guessing that some think that the healthcare replacement idea wasn't draconian enough. But whatever.
By the way, it's not a guess. They're on the record.
Yeah.
So Murkowski, Collins, and Heller are generally more moderate on this issue.
Right.
Some are not on the record, but guys like Jerry Moran and Mike Lee are saying, no, it was not conservative enough. We wanted bigger tax cuts for the rich and less money for Medicaid. So,
yes.
And by the way, Mike Lee and those conservatives, Ted Cruz gave them a vicious amendment in order to try to win their vote, which would allow you to, you would create a death spiral for health insurance so that the young and the healthy would pay lower prices. That's definitely true. I've said that from day one, right? And anyone who gets sick would pay astronomical prices for health insurance, therefore defeating the whole purpose of health insurance.
That's right.
And even that wasn't enough for some of the conservatives in the Senate, going, nope, still not enough, not mean enough for us, and they voted no. So it law, I mean, that 57-43 is not close.
It's not close.
And especially because, can I say one more thing? In this one, since Ted Cruz's amendment was so wrong on 18 different fronts, not just ideologically, but it does not allow them to do a reconciliation bill, even though reconciliation is in the title of the bill. Mm-hmm. So that's a complicated issue, but boils down to then you need 60 votes to pass to get past the filibuster for this to pass. And they only got 43 out of the 60 that they needed. They got killed here. Better that this legislation gets killed than we get killed if they pass it.
So this hit me just right now, and I wish it would have hit me a little earlier so I could have looked into it. But this was a vote that was taken last night. How did McCain vote on this?
Good question. He's not on the list of nine.
He's not on the list. So and who knows? Maybe he left. Maybe he didn't stay for this vote, which would be very strange since we all know that he was, you know, in DC to vote on the first portion of this legislation that would allow for more more debate. But for those of you who want a little more detail into what this first proposal was from the GOP, it would have gutted more than $700 billion from Medicaid and cut tax credits available for low-income people to buy health insurance. So, you know, for the more moderate members of the GOP, it's completely understandable why they wouldn't want to sign on to this legislation.
Yeah. And by the way, Rand Paul was in the group saying not enough. He wanted more cuts. So great, Libertarian Rand Paul, yay rich people.
Yeah, all right. Senator Murkowski was one of the GOP senators who voted against allowing for more debate for a replacement plan for the Affordable Care Act. And she got a little bit of criticism from those on the right, but the commander in chief decided to also criticize her by basically targeting her in a tweet. So he tweeted, Senator Lisa Murkowski of the great state of Alaska really let Republicans in our country down yesterday. Too bad. So I was curious to see what kind of responses he got to that tweet. And actually, a lot of people stood by Murkowski and thanked her for not dismantling the Affordable Care Act. But Murkowski caught wind of this tweet and responded to it. I want to play the response and then we'll discuss. Take a look.
I am in a position where I'm not looking to a reelection until 2022. It's a long time away. And quite honestly, I don't think it's wise to be operating on a daily basis thinking about what a statement or a response that causes you to be fearful of your electoral prospects. We're here to govern. We're here to legislate. We're here to represent the people that sent us here. And so every day shouldn't be about campaigning. Every day shouldn't be about winning elections. About just doing a little bit of governing around here. That's what I'm here for.
Okay, so his attack on a particular senator that voted the wrong way. Okay, this might be surprising to you. Is actually not that bad an idea, but you have to do it in moderation and you have to do it very carefully and strategically. Because if you're going to go after someone in your own party, you better not miss. Now, is Donald Trump going to do anything in moderation or strategically? Of course not. So first of all, he threatens to go after everybody and then it loses all effectiveness. He's like, I'm going to get Sessions and I'm going to get Murkowski and I'm going to get, he had gone after Heller and then McConnell yelled at him like, are you stupid? That's the one seat we could actually lose in the next election and we need every seat to win these things. What are you doing going after Heller? He's like, oh, okay, I didn't know that. Okay, yeah, that's because you're a moron and you don't check into anything. I mean, you're going to go after your own Republican senators and you didn't look at their electoral situation. And so when he goes after Murkowski, she basically, you know, I'll summarize that whole statement for you guys. Kiss my ass. She's like, look, I'm not up for election until 2020. Basically, she's saying Trump isn't going to be anywhere near here in 2020. What the hell is he doing? If she was up for election in the next cycle, then let's keep it real. She pretty much confessed there that then I would have some electoral pressure, right? But as it is now, I don't have any pressure. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
I just got goosebumps at the thought of Trump not being around in 2020.
Oh, like, oh, I mean,
it felt real nice. It's been a while since I felt that excited.
He might not even be a free man at that point. He might be at Rikers.
Well, don't stop it, Cenk. You're exciting me too much.
No, but so anyway, look, the reason why I say it's not that bad an idea if you do it strategically is Obama never did it. He almost never went after anyone in his own party to put pressure on them to actually do something progressive. Partly because he didn't want to do anything that progressive, right? But if he had wanted to, then you could actually put, if Obama went and did a rally in a blue state to put pressure on a Democratic senator, that could have worked, would have worked, and would have been a smart idea if you did it in moderation and very carefully. Trump comes in, of course, bull meat China shop.
Right.
And with no planning at all. So now he's just attacking senators wildly. And finally, why is that a terrible idea? Now you flip it around. Hey, knucklehead, you're in a situation where impeachment is not out of consideration. I mean, you are in a panic, not me, you. You're in a panic over like, oh my God, stop the Russian investigation, stop the Russian investigation, I'm gonna fire everybody, right? So you're obviously worried that there's something that's going to be a significant problem for you. You need every Republican to hold the line when it actually goes and becomes a real issue. Because one day the Murkowskis and the McCains, etc., are gonna turn around and come to the White House like they did with Nixon and go, son, you gotta go.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's definitely possible, especially when you consider the fact that, you know, Collins was caught with that hot mic talking about, you know, how crazy Trump is. So it kind of gives you a sense that, you know, even members of the GOP are either beginning to turn on him or didn't like him from the beginning and are probably waiting for the right strategic moment to act. I wish they would act right now and do so aggressively, but who knows. But the other thing I wanted to add is, you know, Trump's threatening her in a way. It's a veiled threat, and it's a political threat. But what he fails to realize is that the proposals that are being put out by the GOP in regard to healthcare are not popular. Okay, they have about 20% support among the electorate. And so if you're calling around, you're like, oh man, you're letting people down by voting against this, you're actually helping her. So please continue, because in this case, as a moderate member of the GOP, she's actually looking out for her constituents, right? It's really hard to find a principled politician, and at least with this specific issue, she seems to be principled. She seems to be looking out for the best interests of her constituents. So good for her.
So one poll has this proposal down at 17% approval. So if you think you're putting electoral pressure on senators by trying to get them to back a proposal that has 17% approval, you don't know a thing, and that's of course normal for Trump. But I'm telling you right now, if he alienates enough Republican senators, and he will, and he's in the middle of doing it now, one day Lisa Murkowski is gonna walk into his office and tell him that the North remembers. and she's gonna tell him winter has come for the Trumps.
Yeah. All right, we gotta take one more break in this hour. When we come back, Trump's latest attacks on Sessions and Scaramucci's attacks on members of the White House.
They're crazy, man.
Trumps. All right,
we'll tell you all about the Trumps. All right, back on the Young Turks. Julia Mahoney again writes in, we need more of the GOP to pull a Varys on Trump and tell them they will not be blindly loyal if it doesn't serve the people.
Yeah, it doesn't serve them either, but yeah.
But that makes Trump Daenerys, so that makes me uncomfortable. Ray for Madness says, Obama put pressure on members of his own party who thought that the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, was a GOP half measure threatening their seats directly. No, you're absolutely right. So he didn't know how to play hardball, he just played it against liberals. So, yeah.
Okay, so during the postgame today, I wanna talk a little bit about that and also tie it into Al Gore's latest documentary.
Yeah.
Because I just wanna juxtapose what we see with Trump and what we had with someone like Al Gore. There was a scene in that movie that was incredibly impressive to me. So I want to talk
about it. All right, that's great. Yeah. And guys, you can get it for free. There's just a couple of days left, but you get a whole month once you sign up for free. So tytnetwork.com/join and promo code's free TYT to check out that postgame. All right, last one is Rory Dennis says, hopefully Trump can take down some Republicans. The current Dems sure as hell can't do it. Rory, I think you're onto it. I think Trump is gonna do more damage to the Republican Party than the Democrats ever could. I mean, once, if he goes under, his base will be super mad at the Republicans for not backing him, and then they're in a civil war at that point that actually does matter. It doesn't make the way that would go down would not make their party stronger, it'd make it weaker. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go forward.
All right. Donald Trump has not stopped his attacks on his own Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. In fact, recently he decided to continue tweeting about how upset he is that Jeff Sessions didn't take action against a specific member of the FBI. So he said, why didn't Attorney General Jeff Sessions replace acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe, a Comey friend who was in charge of Clinton investigation, but got big dollars, $700,000 for his wife's political run for Hillary Clinton and her representatives, drain the swamp, which is the most ironic way to end that tweet, by the way. Okay, you have a financier as your communications person. Like, you have Rex Tillerson as your secretary of, you wanna talk about draining the swamp? You are the swamp. But anyway, let's focus on McCabe for a second. So he's referring to Jill McCabe, okay? Mm-hmm. I didn't know the deets on this story, but let me play it out for you. So Jill McCabe was recruited to run for a Virginia State Senate seat as a Democrat by Governor Terry McAuliffe, a longtime Clinton confidant and fundraiser. So McAuliffe's PAC gave McCabe's campaign $450,000, and the Virginia Democratic Party kicked in another $200,000. That doesn't equal $700,000, but it's okay. I'll let Trump's bad math pass for this, for the sake of this conversation. Andrew McCabe was the assistant director of the FBI field office in Washington, but he was mostly focused on terrorism related cases, okay? Also, just keep in mind that it's not Jeff Sessions' decision to deal with McCabe, it's Trump's decision.
Well, let's not underplay this. So two small thing and then two big things. Small thing is Hillary Clinton didn't give her any money. Right, and now it's a small thing because McAuliffe's a huge Clinton ally. So it's just, it's splitting hairs a little bit, but he just keeps saying Hillary Clinton gave the money when she didn't, okay? Right. So now they're bigger issues. I mean, before you tweet out, why didn't the Attorney General nominate a FBI director or fire an FBI director? Just can't you ask, you're the president, can't you just ask somebody? Hey, by the way, who does that type of thing? And then they could have told you, hey, knucklehead, he's not in charge of that. You're in charge of that. That's your decision.
I know, Cenk, but it's like 6 a.m. He hasn't gotten any sleep. He just finished tweeting about, you know, banning trans people from the military. Like, he's busy, you know? Like, what do you mean he's going to go ask people?
Come on, man. And it's, if Obama had made that kind of mistake, Fox would be running it 24 hours a day. The president doesn't even know his responsibilities. Can we trust him to be commander in chief if he doesn't even know who's appointing who? Can you believe he's in office? And I mean, but this is one of a thousand things this moron has done wrong. So people are gonna just gloss over it. Like, oh, he's trying to fire his own or get his own attorney general to quit in the most bizarre thing we've ever seen in our lives. Mm-hmm. He's against almost everyone in law enforcement. Gee, I wonder why. Okay, you know who doesn't like the cops, among others? Robbers. They don't like cops.
I don't know. I'm just really tired of this, like, you know, environment of lawlessness.
That's right. Hey, know? Blue Lives Matter, okay?
Yeah.
And so if you go after your attorney general, who's in charge of the entire Justice Department, and you go after everybody in the FBI, I'm beginning to think, I mean, you're in charge of the government, right?
Does Trump even understand how difficult Jeff Sessions' job is? I mean, he puts his life on the line day in and day out to do what he does. And Trump has the audacity to criticize him like this?
Yeah, so.
What a thug.
Anyway, now the second big part of this is, just to explain to you guys what he's doing here. First of all, if you didn't do anything wrong, why are you panicked about the acting director of the FBI and the attorney general and the deputy attorney general and the special prosecutor or special counsel? Why are you panicked about everyone in positions of authority that might actually figure out what you did? Like, that's a weird reaction to have. But, and you knew that from all the things that have been going over the last couple of days. But in this particular case, what he's trying to do is trying to get Sessions to resign, because he doesn't want to fire Sessions, because then he will have fired Comey and Sessions. And then he'll want the new guy to fire Mueller, because that's his real beef, because the special counsel investigating him. Well, that looks like what was called the Saturday Night Massacre that Nixon did to try to stop Watergate.
Right.
And so he figures if Sessions resigns, he could turn around, because he's known as an inveterate liar, and go, oh, I didn't want Sessions to resign. Well, I didn't do Sessions. I didn't do that. Sessions resigned. No. What can I do about it?
Okay, so right? So first, let me just preface my point by saying that I can't stand either one of them. Okay, Sessions is a bad guy. Trump is a bad guy. So please don't think for a second that I'm trying to defend Sessions. But the one right thing that Sessions did do was recuse himself. Okay, he was supposed to do that, and I'm glad he did that. Now, with that said, I find it hilarious because an official from the White House spoke to the press anonymously and said that Sessions has no intention of quitting. No intention.
No.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Well, so I love that because it's exactly what I would do. I'd be like, listen, you want to fire me? Fire me.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do your work for you. Yeah, go ahead, tweet all day, idiot. You're just making yourself look dumber. And now conservative media has turned on Trump. And they're backing Sessions, even Breitbart is. And now other Republicans are starting to tweet in and put out messages. Like Lindsey Graham did this long statement like, what are you doing? Like Lindsey, he's like Pete Sessions, I mean Jeff Sessions is one of the most conservative guys in the country. We all really like him and think he's deeply principled. Richard Shelby again from Alabama, he's like, what? No, I'm on Sessions' side. How many Republican senators can you lose when you're facing an investigation that apparently is scaring the hell out of you in terms of what they're gonna find? At some point, those Republican senators turn back around and go, hey, listen, man, you don't have the votes to survive an impeachment based on what they found. So, as usual, a pathetically dumb strategy by Donald Trump. I told you, he's just not smart enough to cover up what he did effectively and to be able to survive this. Mike Pence.
I mean, I think he's sitting in the corner like salivating right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, my day's coming.
Oh, Mike Pence has a perpetual erection. He's like,
gross.
But his wife must be in the room. Okay.
Okay.
But he's like, oh my God. He's like, every time he goes in the Oval Office, he's like looking at the drapes, like, what color do I want these drapes to be? Okay.
Which, so, by the way, is also terrifying. But anyway.
Yes.
Okay. Final story in the first hour. Anthony Scaramucci, Trump's new head of the communications department in the White House, is now threatening to fire everyone because of the fact that so many leaks have been put out there in the press. In fact, speaking to Politico, Scaramucci said, I'm going to fire everybody. That's how I'm going to do it. You're either going to stop leaking or you're going to be fired. Okay. Now, what's interesting about this is Michael Short, who was working on Trump's campaign and then left Trump's campaign and started working, you know, in his normal job
at the RNC,
was heavily criticized because he stopped working at the Trump campaign. And so Scaramucci and others who are supportive of Trump are assuming or speculating that maybe Short is one of these people who's leaking all this stuff to the press. And so he was about to get fired, right? Except Scaramucci didn't get to fire him before Short found out about this through the press. And so in regard to that, Scaramucci says the following. This is the problem with the leaking. This is actually a terrible thing. Let's say I'm firing Michael Short today. The fact that you guys know about it before he does really upsets me as a human being and as a Roman Catholic.
Oh, wow. Why did you bring the Roman Catholic thing into it for?
I don't know.
Okay, and by the way, of course it's his fault. Scaramucci in a morning meeting talked about how he was probably going to fire Michael Short. Well, if you say that, dude, people are going to find out. It's like when Trump goes around threatening Sessions and threatening Comey and then finally firing Comey. Well, you kind of telegraphed that one. And then he turns around and goes, the way that Michael Short found out, it upsets me as a Roman Catholic. Of course that's your fault. So, but again, I don't know if this will surprise you, but I'm a little conflicted on this one. Okay, I'm a little split on it. Because if you do want to enforce discipline.
I know. Okay, but here's the thing. Everyone hates you guys, right? And so go ahead, fire everyone. And he says that he's fine with that he'll fire everyone and it'll go down to just, you know, him and Sanders and that's it, right? Okay, yeah, good luck with that. But no matter what, there are gonna be people that are turned off by what your administration are doing, especially when you consider the fact that there are now hardcore Trump supporters, people who supported Trump through his entire campaign, and now they're starting to turn on him. People like Ann Coulter, writers at Breitbart, right? Now these are members of the media, but you also have, you know, members of the GOP that are turning their backs on him. And so if you think that you're gonna do away with the issue with leakers just by firing everyone, again, good luck. I don't think it's gonna work out that way. But apparently a source close to Scaramucci said he's planning to bring in people from the corporate communications world in addition to conservative broadcast stars.
So look, here's what happened. When Trump first came in, he basically made a deal with the establishment Republicans. He brought in Reince Priebus, who was not a huge Trump fan in the beginning, who used to run that RNC, to be his chief of staff. Reince Priebus brings in Sean Spicer and a lot of the guys in the communications department. It is true that they are leaking like a sieve. Mm-hmm. So then Trump goes, okay, I'm gonna get my buddy from New York who talks like me and has the same hand motions. Okay, I don't know if you guys have ever seen that video, but it's hilarious. Anyway, hey, Mooch, come in here, Mooch. And Mooch goes, hey, I'm gonna fire you all of yous. Okay, that's how we do it in New York. So now, Michael Short says it's absurd that I was leaking and it's not true. He probably was.
Yeah, right. I mean, obviously we're speculating, but I would probably think that that was happening.
Yeah, and a lot of Rice guys are not loyal to Trump.
Right.
So that's why I got mixed feelings. If I was in Trump's situation, I'd probably, if he did it, and probably, anyway, I would probably, whoever did it, I would fire them, right, if I had some evidence. But Anna is so right on the core argument. And I didn't, maybe we shouldn't tell him. If we're on Fox and Friends, I definitely wouldn't say it because he'd be watching. Anyway, is that, look, if you knock off enough lieutenants, one day you're going to look around and go, oh, there's nobody behind me. So when your opponents come for you, you got no backup. Yep. So you could bring in all the Eric Bowlings and I hope he brings in Ducey and Kilmeade. How great would that be? Like, can you imagine Kilmeade in a press conference? Like, I don't know what's happening. Anyway, so you can bring in all those guys and you can bring up your bunch of guys from New York who understands how the Mooch works. Okay? But it's if you don't have enough institutional support within the Republican Party, it is going to, that is a decision you're going to greatly regret.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right, second hour coming up. Grace coming in, right?
Grace is coming in. She's gonna lead, okay? She's gonna take charge, present the stories, and then we're gonna sit back and have some fun.
Oh, wow, okay, that sounds great. All right, we're also gonna tell you that, you know the poll yesterday? Would you, are you gonna still watch football knowing that 99% of them have traumatic brain injuries? Really interesting results.
Oh, you're not gonna tell us now?
No, I'm gonna tell you after the break. Okay. All right, come right back.